come here a lot, but I don't come here very often. Not every week. Sometimes I'm someplace else. I'm at the same office on Sunday morning.
So,
Sunday morning, last week.
Today's Mass can be found on page 116, Breaking Bread. Our celebrant for this evening's Mass is Father Lawrence Bentline. Our entrance song is in Breaking Bread number 393, Lord of All Hopefulness. Again, number 393. Please stand.
Oh.
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good evening. In today's scriptures, we hear Jesus speak about how we are to forgive and how many times we are to forgive. He says not seven times, but 70 times. Seven times. So that means always, because God has already forgiven us. He's already given. So we, like the master in today's gospel, are called to forgive. I confess
to my God and to my brothers and sisters that I have sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. And I ask Blessed Mary of the Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May our Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
A reading from the book of Sirach. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then, when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself can he seek pardon for his own sins? If one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Remember death and decay, and cease from sin. Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook faults. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. The word of the Lord.
Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. And since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debts. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me. I will pay you back in full. And moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. And falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. So last week we checked on the youngsters and some of the oldsters who were going back to school. So, tell me, how's school? Because your mom and dad will tell me if you don't. Oh, No telling, huh? Nothing eventful, uneventful. Okay, well, we'll move on then. It's okay. I'll be upset for a week, but I'll get over it. I'll come out of my room. Jesus reminds us today in today's gospel, it's a rather stark and hard gospel, isn't it? Because it's really not the way we deal with life, is it? You know, someone gets mad, someone does something, we're unforgiving, and well, more often than not, we kind of just go our way and let them go their way, right? Hope we don't meet until we go to heaven unless we have other plans. And isn't that true? And what does all that mean on this weekend as we hear so much about the anniversary of 9/11? And I try to distract myself because listening to too much of that isn't healthy either. They had all kinds of music that people would call in that reflected the mood and the emotions of 9/11. So there was a lot of stuff going on. Well, Focus Hope had a cleanup day today. So I went, and for about 2 hours, we older ones probably couldn't take much more of that. We were packing boxes for seniors and for children. And so there were these bottles of orange juice and grape juice. So they put me on that line first. And we were having fun doing it. If you're going to be there, you might as well enjoy doing it. So we were doing the boxes and they were on a conveyor belt, so sometimes I would push the boxes a little quicker. So all of these, most of them were college students from the University of Michigan. Over 800 people were there volunteering for all this work. And I went largely because Eleanor Jositis, who was on her deathbed, and we buried her a month ago this weekend, and did the month's mind in terms of remembering the deceased. She pointed her finger among a number of us who were visiting her one day and said, "You better continue the work of Jesus and of Father Cunningham." And she is older, so yes, ma'am. So I know she's in heaven and helping us get through. But the fact of the matter is that it always seems that some action is better than just a lot of talk about 9/11. There's so much healing that needs to happen, and a lot of work that has to happen. And after the filling of the boxes, we went and sat for a while, and they had questions for the college students. So there was a whole table of Chinese young exchange students. So it was the first table, and I saw there was a seat available, so I asked them if I could join them, and they were very gracious. And I said, "Where were you in 1968? And well, of course, they weren't even born, perhaps, so maybe their parents weren't around yet. But as they went on, they began to talk about life in China. So I said, "Well, besides us Americans being indebted to you Chinese, what else is going on?" So there was one guy from South America there, and he said, "Well, the media exaggerates all that debt. We're not really that much in debt to China." Okay. And then they began to talk Chinese, and a young exchange student was trying to be accommodating to this one who didn't know Chinese. And she said, "Do you want to know what we're talking about?" I said, "Well, sure, thank you." And so then they went on and talked, and they said they lived in apartments in Dearborn. And they said that they brought this up on their own. They said they don't know their neighbors. And one said, you Americans are very independent. And I said, well, also we're not real close as families, are we? And they all nodded no. And I said, so how are you family in China? And they said, oh, we're really close. We're only here 4 weeks and we really miss our family. And, you know, we'll be here for 4 years as they complete whatever mechanical engineering degree or whatever degree they are. So somehow I said, well, don't your neighbors talk to you? No, they ignore us. So I thought, oh, well, I guess we got some work there because, you know, they're guests, and even though they look different or speak differently, we're still called to reach out, to be gracious. And the South American guy said, well, you know, when the Americans come to our country, we're really gracious. We reach out and give and, you know, help them around and show hospitality. So I give that example from them. In terms of today's gospel, that, you know, we don't need a lot of talk even here. Of course, St. Francis says, St. Francis of Assisi, the great saint of creation, he says, only use words when necessary. And so there's something about silence, and God's language is silence. Early this morning, there were some youngsters up early, perhaps before God, and so I saw them. I asked them to walk over with me to a sister's house. She has these sunflowers, so I thought it'd be a good idea for us to plant a few in memory of all those innocent victims who had died 10 years ago. And they said, "Well, what's that all about?" So we talked as we planted, and I said, "Well, you're too young. Most of you weren't even around yet, but ask your mother and father what happened that day." And finally, you know, today's reading from the first letter of Sirach, you know, where the writer says, wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. You know, and many people are still angry about that 9/11. You know, and as we were packing the boxes this afternoon, I watched some women who had the what are called hijabs. They're Muslims, and they're Muslim women. There were Jewish people there and Muslims and Christians. And the Muslims got off the line, and they went and prayed, pointing eastward. They were on their knees, and they were doing their prayers, as they do their prayers 5 times a day, whether they're at work or whether they're at home. They very seriously take their obligation to connect. I was so impressed with that. And then while we were sitting around later talking, some others were praying again at the hour at which they pray. And so forgive your neighbor's injustice. And you and I know that sin exists in our world, doesn't it? There is hatred in our world. And yet the fact of the matter is that you and I cannot choose to become part of that hate if we're Christian. Christianity calls us to love, and that's the only party we are to be party to, is God's love.
Son, he is worshiped in your heart. He is filled with your prophets.
For the church, that we may recognize that we are God's people in life and in death, and faithfully meditate God's love, mediate God's love, mercy, and forgiveness through our lives, we pray to the Lord. For nations and communities in strife, that God will bring an end to violence and chaos in cities and the countryside, and open a pathway of justice and peace to be established for all people, we pray to the Lord. For all who grieve, particularly those who have lost loved ones in the terrorism of 10 years ago, that God will heal their pain, renew their spirits, and give them a new vision for life, we pray to the Lord. For a deepening awareness of how God has forgiven us, that we may recognize our sinfulness and the boundless forgiveness of God that sustains us each day, we pray to the Lord. For the sick, especially those on our parish sick list, that in Christ's presence they may find a source of healing and peace, we pray to the Lord. For the deceased, especially for Rosemary Lamb, Carol Gruber, the souls in purgatory, and Jane Van Tham, that they be welcomed into eternal glory, we pray to the Lord. And for those intentions that we hold in the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Father,
hear our prayer.
Hear us out of the Son. Holy Spirit, hear our prayer. Mercy on your people.
Thank you.
for not our all-loving and gracious gifts. The worship of each one here bring healing and salvation to all. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Ever living, ever loving God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. So great was your love that you gave us your Son, Jesus. You sent him as one like ourselves, though free from sin, that you might see and love in us what you see and love in Christ. Your gifts of grace lost by disobedience are now restored by the obedience of your Son. So we praise you, Lord, with all the angels and saints in their songs. Supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you praise and thanks. Giving the cup to his disciples, said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, will be shed for you and for all, so that sins will be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Church throughout the world, make us grow in love together with Benedict, our Pope, Alan, our Bishop, the clergy, religious, and all your people everywhere. Remember our sisters and brothers who have gone to the rest in the hope of rising. Bring them and all the departed into the light of your presence. Have mercy on us all. Make us worthy to share eternal life with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with the apostles, the martyrs, Saint Claude, all the saints who've done your will throughout the ages. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, almighty maker, forever and ever.
Let us ask our Father to forgive our sins and to bring us to sin against us. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all anxiety, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I give you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. Grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses.